is in there. It's weird and pissed off, whatever it is.
She just goes a little mad sometimes. We all go a little mad sometimes.
Game over, man! Game over!
What an excellent day for an exorcism.
You are invited to an open house where horror will be your host.
Don't fall asleep.
Flight 19, the Bermuda Triangle Part 2.
Dun, 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 dun.
Can't even afford proper dramatic music. Can't even afford a dramatic stab.
But you know what? I was telling you, I have completely been sucked down into the water funnel of abyss that is the Bermuda Triangle.
Yeah.
And so I have just been like deep diving. And I had a feeling on the weekend, I had this craving, nay, this voice telling me I had to go to the op shop near me. And oh my God, I found all these books on like the Bermuda Triangle that they like fuckers on eBay were trying to sell me for like $27.
Yeah.
And like found them for like $3.99. This one was $1.99.
Good old Savers at Kilburn.
Oh my Lord. I'm so excited.
There you go. If you want to meet Liz one day, just hang out at Savers in Kilburn. She'll sign the books she hasn't bought yet.
In the non-fiction section. And like as I went to like the checkout, because I literally bought $32 worth of books. And the woman, there was no cat paintings for me to buy. So I just bought the books. And the woman, you know, she starts off, you know, the first one. So it's like, oh, Limbo of the Lost. Yeah. The second one is The Dragon's Triangle.
Oh, God.
And the next one is like, Women Who Kill. And then the next one is like, I kill because I love it. And it was just this like series of books and titles that were just getting progressively and progressively worse. She didn't even ask me if I had a coupon. She was just like, fucking tap and go, bitch, tap and go.
The fisherman's pants and cat hair is enough to let anyone know that you're a woman who kills.
Oh, my Lord. But will you want to hear more exciting news?
Yes.
I only just read about this afternoon and okay. It just made me happy. I think this is one of these stories that is just going to make all of us happy.
Right.
Because it just makes the world a better place.
Yeah.
Now, this has happened half a dozen times.
Yeah.
Mainly in New York. New York.
Okay, yeah.
All right, so while they're walking here.
Yeah.
Six TikTokers have had a member of the public just randomly walk up and punch them in the face.
I've seen this.
While they were TikToking.
Is this really happening? Or are people just doing something for the views?
You see, normally I would say just like, oh my God, like, you know, you try hards.
Yeah.
But I actually think there's something spontaneous just happening in the rest of humanity. And it's like we're just having like a physical, visceral response to influencers.
Well, okay.
It's just science.
Or is it just MAGA Trump voters who think that it's Chinese spies?
Oh, my God. No, it's just influencers. Oh. And you know what? Especially I think the thing that has finally broken our back is this new trend of the people who are making their income from creating the bad videos. Like doing fake arguments or just like, oh, my God, I can't believe people are honking at me just because I'm trying to walk backwards and forwards in front of these cars, like deliberately to get anger and, you know, create
the anger. Ones where Americans waste good food cooking those ridiculous dishes, yeah.
Yeah, and you just – and it just fucking – like, could you just – how do you live with yourself? If just that's your purpose in life is just to get up and create – hate
Look,
in the world.
I 100% believe that they should engineer a virus that dissolves those people like a bath bomb. Mm. Absolutely, that should happen. But at the same time, I fucking love TikTok. I love it.
Look, don't get me wrong. Like, I love a good dumpster diving video as much as the next person. But come on. There's also a lot. There's too many, all right? We need to start picking them off.
TikTok is so fucking radicalized.
Oh.
I love it. Because you and I both grew up in the culture wars.
Yeah.
So you and I both remember what it was like when, you know, they started changing the school curriculum in Australia to remove the black armband view of history to try and suppress teaching of Indigenous studies.
Mm-hmm.
And you would, like me, remember when they started making it hard to join a union in universities. So they got rid of brought in voluntary student unionism and destroyed university life because suddenly there was no money for clubs and societies to do anything. So all the community faded away. And they've just launched these culture wars and all this kind of stuff because they thought that, you know, people would be radicalized in universities like it's fucking Berlin in the 1920s.
Yeah, we're not, you know, doing like soft jazz behind doors trying to overflow
So all these hardcore conservatives thought that people were being radicalized in universities by some guy in an Argyle sweater sitting backwards on a chair and telling kids about Das Kapital. Get on TikTok.
Oh.
It's kids who are fucking rabid communists who are just like, eat the rich. Here's a recipe.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's incredible. How to cook the rich using dumpster dived food. It's incredible.
I fucking love it. Yeah.
It's like, it's almost like if you create the system, people will fill that void.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and the other thing is, like, of course, now we've got like a cost of living crisis and people are working full time to not have enough money to afford to live in this system. What have we got to lose?
Yeah. So here's the thing, like, and this is probably a little bit of an update in regards to our little rescue dog. Because for people who've listened to the podcast before, my partner Lou and I took on a very small, very sick dog. Very small, very sick dog is now doing very well.
Mm-hmm.
She's, and, you know, look, we've accrued some vet bills and that sort of stuff. And we were talking about doing some fundraisers.
Mm-hmm.
We've decided not to do that.
Oh, have we? Okay.
Well, no, but simply because these cat and dog and whatever rescue charities need that money more than we do.
Yeah.
So Lou and I both have decent day jobs.
Okay.
We earn a comfortable living. We don't earn enough money to buy a house.
Yeah.
Like we still live frugally, but we're in a position where we can afford to look after a dog.
Yep.
That somehow makes us better than about 50% of the population. We're luckier than about 50% of the population because we can afford vet bills.
No, but seriously, there's that thing. Like everyone's like, oh, you think you're okay, but stop and think.
Yeah.
And it's like the amount of like households that are literally one car bill or one vet bill away from homelessness. And people don't, oh my God, people don't understand how quickly shit turns.
Oh, yeah.
And you are out of money and you are homeless.
It doesn't take long.
Yeah.
Like I genuinely think with every – because we've just been scrimping and saving and doing what we can because we recognize that, you know, housing is precarious. You need to have that kind of fighting fund.
Yeah.
Even with everything we've managed to put away, which is not a huge amount, I reckon it would maybe last us 2 months.
Yeah.
Oh, like we'd be fucked.
Yeah.
Fucked.
Yeah.
Ford's taken us 3 years to save.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, my God, 100%. Well, like I've been like skipping breakfasts, like just having like, you know, baked beans, washing stuff in cold water. Just been like going around with like just trying not to turn the lights on at night, you know, just like fuck it. If I break an ankle, I'll go to the hospital. They have to treat me for free. It's cheaper than turning on the fucking power. And it's still for like the last 5 days of my fortnight.
Yeah.
That's it. I've got 35 cents to last.
Yeah.
And so I'm going to like go cash in my bottles if I want a loaf of bread to make sandwiches.
I don't want to be judgy here, but you are drinking premix cans of a premium bourbon.
Hey.
That's my McDonald's coffee. I'm not going to judge you for that.
Hey. Shut the fuck up. Oh, my God. I treat myself once.
Just give up Jim Beam for a week. You'll have a mansion.
Fuck off.
A mansion for a Jim Beam drinker is just a caravan with three wheels. You'll be fine.
Oh, my God. At this stage, I would be fucking – I wish I could afford a caravan with three wheels.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Just saving up for that fourth wheel.
Yeah. Cash in your cans.
You know what? I'm so excited. Like, and I don't even need – a gazillion dollars. I found a place online. It's only like 350,000. It's in the fucking middle of nowhere.
Right.
But it's only a 20-minute drive away from Bats.
Bats.
And it's on, it has its own well, so I never have to pay for water. It's already got electricity. It's got fruit trees. And I'm just like, oh my God.
That sounds incredible.
I know.
What country is it in? Is it Paraguay?
It's in the 70s.
It would be cheaper to build that time machine.
Oh my God, it really would.
Yeah.
Oh, now I'm depressed again.
Yeah.
I'm so excited about thinking about punching TikTokers randomly in the face.
I'm a TikToker. I'm a 45 and I feel like a creep, but I'm on TikTok.
Rest my case.
Oh.
I know. Bless you. I've been seeing you trying to reach out to the kids. Oh, okay. Maybe I'll rephrase that.
I'm not trying to reach the kids. Kids have no money. I'm trying to reach the middle class people that can afford comedy tickets.
The sad thing is they don't have any money either.
Yeah, I know.
There's only two people on the people who have planet, Jeff Bezos and Elon Musk has managed to like still cling it on.
This is why all these stand-ups are doing right-wing comedy. They're the only people who can afford to fucking see us. Oh, look out, I'm going to start doing a whole bunch of just anti-trans jokes just so I can buy a house.
Just so you can buy a house. Yep. I know. Oh, my God. And you know what the thing is, before anybody says anything about it, like, oh, my God, like Jeff Bezos says that he's going to give, you know, money to charity to make the world a better place. You know what also makes the world like a better place? Paying workers a livable wage, letting them unionize and letting them use the toilet facilities and letting them go home during a fucking tornado.
Yeah, that'd be nice, wouldn't it?
Hey. Anyway.
Yeah.
We went on a tangent this week.
We did.
There was something about the full moon. There was some full moon lunar eclipse or something last night. Did you go out and cleanse and recharge your chakra?
I watered the lawn and the dog took a shit.
Well, I was going to say, did you expose your anus to the moon memes?
Not this week, no.
Oh.
I do live very close to a school, so I don't think I should be doing that.
This is why your TikTok hasn't, like, taken off. You're not recharging your You know what
I'm
going to do?
I'm just going to start mixing my usual communist ramblings with time-lapse videos of me cleaning rugs and mowing lawns.
Yeah, I know. But that being said, how satisfying is it just sitting there watching that rug go from filthy to spotless?
That rug that they bought and then poured motor oil on. Yeah, that one. Yeah.
On one part, it just makes me angry. Yeah.
Where are they finding these Hurricane Katrina prayer rugs?
Oh, that's what I want to know. My God. Yeah. Oh, my God. With like the you know, the plants growing out of them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Oh, someone's just paying you $500 to clean that $39 Kmart special, are they?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. But yeah, that being said, strangely satisfying.
Very satisfying.
It's because I can't go out and have a life anymore.
No, we're too old.
Fuck off.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I was trying to make a point about capitalism and it's failing, but sure, just make it about ageism.
Yeah.
Fucking hell. Oh, you know what else belongs in the 40s besides your attitude?
Well, it's like the best years of our lives have disappeared suddenly.
Oh, would you stop saying us? I'm not joining
I'm not
with
even
it.
Saying these things. Alcohol is a depressant. This is what you're hearing.
No, the best is yet to come. One day I will talk you into making to come ghost hunting with me.
And I'll come ghost hunting with you.
It will be the best. We're going to make the best show ever.
I will come ghost hunting with you. Yeah.
What's the catch? I'm waiting for the catch.
There is no catch. Well, the money. We need fucking money.
Oh, you know what it was? We said that because we were going to start like the OnlyFans, but we decided feet were played out. The only suggestion that we got from other people was our elbow.
Yeah.
Yeah. I haven't looked
at it. Japanese businessmen aren't jerking off to my elbow.
To elbows?
No. No.
On the other hand, Elon Musk, if you're out there and you're looking at John's elbow and you're like, ugh, contact us.
Ugh. Yuck.
What? For money?
Not his money.
I'm not saying you have to put his wang like in the fold. I'm just saying just like pick up some things, like a coquettish, oh, a handkerchief. Oh.
Just some arm curls.
Oh, what's this? Oh, I'm just sweeping up one of your rockets. Oh, oh
Jesus.
Anyway.
So let's talk about the place that our dignity apparently disappeared into as well.
Oh. Oh, my God. That is a black, black hole from which there is no returning. Oh, my God. Which would you believe? Speaking of black holes that have no depth. That also brings us to the topic of this week.
Cool.
This week is part two. We are continuing with Flight 19, the lost patrol of the Bermuda Triangle.
I was going to say, like, I could have done like a ghosty kind of noise or like the UFO noise, but it's like, what kind of noise does a Bermuda Triangle make? The final countdown. Great movie, by the way. Great movie.
Okay, so do you want to do a recap? What can you remember from last week?
Okay, what I remember of last week, and bear in mind this is you putting me on the spot, was last training mission of the day.
Mm-hmm.
There was, what, 6 or 7 planes due to go up?
Five
planes due to go up. The lead pilot, who was a decorated veteran of the Pacific Theatre, basically came to work that day and begged them to let him not have to do it.
Not once, but twice.
And toxic masculinity prevailed, and they sent him up there. They told him to suck it up and get in that plane. They got out there. It was a 3-position maneuver. They had to fly out to a place. Then they had to do like a blind bit of navigation.
Mm-hmm.
So they had to make 3 turns. It was basically a glorified triangle. And then they would land back at Fort Lauderdale, Florida. He took over the flight. They went out there, got lost. He made a series of incredibly bad decisions. Every time going against protocol. So instead of flying west. Mm-hmm. Instead of having the plane at the sun in their – fuck, I can't remember even which direction they were supposed to fly. But
that side.
Yeah. So they were supposed to fly from the west to the west.
Go west, there are people.
He went against that. Yeah, so put the sun on one side of you and just keep going that way basically. And he ignored it. And progressively the signal from his things got weaker and weaker from his radio calls until he was heard to say – when the first plane goes below 10 gallons, we all ditch together, which is fucking crazy. Considering if he'd just followed protocol, they would have made it home.
Yeah. Allegedly.
Allegedly.
Yeah. Allegedly. Oh. Now, as you remember, the other thing that we touched on last week was pretty much straight away there are different claims as to what happened.
Yeah.
We have the official report that says that their last – heard transmission is, it looks like we are entering white water. We are completely lost.
Yeah.
But then later on in the 60s, in 1962, a magazine article, the author claims that a reliable source informed him that he heard an additional transmission from the group of planes, which said, everything looks wrong, strange, the ocean doesn't look as it should.
Okay.
Which is pretty alarming.
Yeah.
You know, from men who have spent hundreds of hours in the air, they should know what an ocean looks like.
You'd hope so.
In 1974, Charles Berlitz, in his book The Bermuda Triangle, I did not find that one for $3. I was looking. I did get another one of his.
Okay.
I hate to give it away, spoiler alert, there will be some more Bermuda Triangle incidents coming up.
Cool.
So in his book, The Bermuda Triangle, he claims there was another omitted transmission that came after the ocean doesn't look as it should be.
Right.
Here he claims this is in fact, and not earlier. Remember they said Lieutenant Taylor, they reported he told the other plane to not come after them.
Yes.
Now, this additional source says, no, that's incorrect. He actually used this phrase towards the end of the transmission.
Okay.
He claims he heard a radio transmission that said, don't come after us. They look like they're from outer space.
What? What?
1974.
Oh, yeah.
Other sources, however, claim that his sources are not reliable and claim there is no actual physical evidence that those were, in fact, the last words.
Yeah.
But again, when it's a last heard transmission from the 40s, what physical evidence can you have?
Well, exactly, yeah.
You know, everything that you're saying is all, they heard this.
Well, everyone was just writing shit down.
Yeah. But then even you're taking it that, okay, that is the end. There isn't another page after it. Redacted. No, excuse me. But as soon as the planes disappeared, the Navy immediately scrambled a search and rescue team.
Yep.
They were still a bit in shock. Pretty much these runs were known as a milk run.
Yeah.
They were just seen as such a commonplace occurrence.
Yeah, yeah.
So on the 5th of December, 1945, two plane boats. Oh, and I have a picture.
Where are you fucking going?
I left the picture over here.
Jesus Christ, professional. 170 episodes of this we've done and we're still having you run off fucking mic to grab a picture. You printed out for a fucking audio podcast.
It was so that you could describe it.
Okay.
All right. All right. Because you're going to be like, oh, this is fine. These are the planes that they sent.
Yeah. So that is a Catalina. That is what my grandfather served on in the Second World War.
Ah.
There you go.
And a Martin Mariner seaplane.
Yeah.
They were sent out. Basically, they're huge planes that can also land on water.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. They're massive.
Yeah. They've got the little, like, what do you call them? Like little canoe things, you know?
Floats, yeah.
Yeah. So they sent them out because obviously, okay, if they have crashed, they can land, pick them up.
Yeah.
So PBM-5 took off at 19:27 that evening.
Right, so this is a night run.
Yes.
Yep.
Because remember, this sort of happened. They were supposed to be the last training flight of the day.
Yeah.
So at 7:27, it set out with a 13-man crew on each of these ships.
Yep.
And they departed from Naval Air Station Banana River. That's the coolest name for a banana.
It's a pretty cool name.
Banana River. Banana River. It's in eastern Florida, by the way.
Yeah.
So they went out to search for the missing Flight 19. At 19:30, they called in a routine message.
Yep. Just checking in.
Just checking in. Hey, how you doing, boo? 20 minutes after takeoff, the plane disappeared from all radar screens.
Okay.
And was never seen or heard of again.
What? So the first rescue plane goes down.
Well, it's not even a case of going down. Literally, boop, just disappeared off the radar.
Okay.
They literally describe watching it. There it is. It's on the radar. Literally, blip, you know, it does that round thing. Gone.
Gone.
No SOS, no warning, no message. Gone.
Okay.
It was never seen of or heard of ever again.
Shit.
No distress signals, no SSO, just vanished.
Yeah.
Poof. Now, at 1950, a tanker that was at sea, the SS Gaines Mills, reported seeing something described as bright lights in the sky.
Right.
They described it as a fireball.
Okay.
Then they reported seeing flames leaping up from the ocean, leaping 100 metres high and burning for what seemed like 10 minutes.
That could be a flying boat going down.
So they moved to the area of the light. Obviously, you're in a giant boat. You can't just stop on a dime.
No.
But they did do their best to manoeuvre back to the area to search for, okay, what has caused these lights?
Yeah.
But there were no lights when they arrived.
Okay.
There was no wreckage.
See, that's odd. Yeah.
So you would think if there would be an explosion, there should be something. There should be at least something flopping about in the ocean.
It's also night.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah, but you'd still like, there's floatable stuff aboard. There should be something on the water.
Yeah, look, they'd have big ass searchlights and all that kind of stuff. Have you ever been on a boat at night?
I've been on a cruise ship.
Okay, well, that's a little bit different, but it's kind of similar. Do you notice how fucking black it is?
Yes.
Yeah, it's freaky.
Oh, I don't see colour, but. So they reported finding an oil slick.
Yeah.
But there were no survivors, no wreckage.
Right.
After this sixth ship disappears, the Navy fucking grounds everyone and everything.
Fair enough.
Everyone, land. Just stop what you're doing. Something going on. And they call off the search for the next day. The next day on December the 6th, the search mission takes up again. but is called off quickly as the storm, which had started the night before, does not ease. The day after that, on December the 7th, the Navy once again sends out planes and boats to search over thousands of kilometres of ocean.
Yeah.
It actually was one of the largest and thorough rescue missions in American naval history.
Really?
Civilian vessels, units of the Coast Guard, Army, Navy, civilians, they all scoured an area of more than 250,000 square miles.
Wow.
Over 300 planes and boats engaged in the search. And it wasn't just the Americans. Even the British Royal Air Force, who were stationed in the Bahamas, actually helped out in the search and did a search over the and around the Bahamas.
All right.
No wreckage was ever found. They found nothing.
Yeah.
No debris, no wreckage, nothing. Now, remember, I was looking up a statistic. How scary is this? The American Coast Guard says that in open ocean, on the best possible day, if they get out there straight away and it's a good, clear, calm day in open ocean, there is still only a 78% chance of recovery.
Yeah. Even that's ambitious, I reckon.
Yeah. So this was 2 days later.
Yeah.
After a storm.
Yeah.
The Gulf Stream could have pushed any debris and survivors basically about every 4 miles every hour.
Oh, Jesus.
And they started looking about 40 hours after the disappearance.
Yeah, okay.
The other problem was that, well, everybody started to see crashed planes and survivors everywhere.
Yeah.
So then they actually lost a lot of time on like red herrings.
Yeah.
Because, you know, people had gone up in planes and they're like, oh my God, like honestly, I can see like two men and they're shooting off flares. Like that's definitely the crashed plane. And then the Navy would get out there and it's just two drunk hillbillies in the woods with a bonfire. Just trying to Brokeback Mountain their love when the Navy appears.
Well, that's probably not a bad thing. It's just turned into a party.
Woo, in the Navy. Oh, my God, I had dreams like this. So, yeah, that was the other problem. Everyone was seeing them. There were, you know, there were other planes that were like, oh, my God, no, totally, we see a life raft. You see a life raft, you have to come out there. They get there. It's just some cardboard that is floating in the ocean.
Yeah, because they used to use the ocean as a dump.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
By December the 10th, only 66 planes and boats were still engaged in the search.
Yeah.
It's starting to like skim off a little bit.
Yeah.
On Friday, December the 14th, now, the Navy announced they would stop their search at midnight if nothing was found. But they wanted to know, they're not abandoning hope. They're not abandoning hope. We're just stopping the search at midnight. Yeah. This was their quote at the time. So they're totally not giving up. Just because we're abandoning, it doesn't mean we're stopping or giving up. Quote, "We have not given up yet. If these men are still alive, we'll do everything to find them." Except, you know, continue the search.
It's like me saying I haven't given up on getting healthy.
Life.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I know. It's like someone's like me trying to say I haven't given up on, like, finding an emotional, stable relationship with, like, a man.
You never know what you'll find at Savers.
I'm keeping my receipt.
Just take it back the next week.
I'm afraid this is used. I bent the aerial. Can I get a store credit? Friday, December the 14th, 1945, the search was abandoned. And the Navy announced that memorial services would be held the following Thursday on the 21st of December in the Naval Air Station Auditorium.
Right.
Again, we're
getting... Haven't given up.
But if we do it this way, we can do it and then still make it home for Christmas. Yeah. So not giving up, though.
Who doesn't love closure?
totally not giving up. Around this time, another article claimed that after the disappearance, one of the families of one of the missing men received a telegram.
A telegram?
A telegram. It did not say who or where it was from. The telegram simply said, quote, "I am very much still alive, Georgie."
Sent a telegram.
Telegram.
That's like in the 2010 A Space Odyssey where they start getting those transmissions from space.
I am very much alive. So this was sent to a family. It was sent to the parents of one of the missing crewmen.
Oh, that's cruel.
Georgie was what the parents called their son.
Right.
And they said that nobody else knew that that was the pet name that they had for their son.
Right. Okay.
Although he's called Georgie. He's called George.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not that much of a name.
It's not a,
like you would have a... But the point is somebody
yeah.
sent that telegram.
That's a dick move. That's a dick move.
Oh, here's me trying to find hope beyond the stars, and you're like, what a cunt.
What is a cunty move?
It was a TikToker. It was a 1940s version of a TikToker. It's why people are punching him in the face. Fucking TikTokers. Oh, Lord. Another article claimed... So they received it from Georgie. So they decide, nah, sorry, 21st of December, we're having a service. Not giving up. We're sure they're alive. I mean, they haven't even searched Big Titty Island, but yeah. Christmas, all right? We have other events booked for the auditorium.
Yeah.
The Navy began an extensive investigation.
Yes.
And I do find some irony that the investigation into what happened pretty much went on 100 times longer than the actual search for the people that went missing.
Oh.
I'm just saying, maybe we're not deploying our resources correctly or evenly.
Yeah.
They took 7 months.
Oh.
7 months for the investigation. The fact that that required a lot of trips to the Bahamas.
A lot of rum sampling.
we need to be really thorough with the people of Big Titty Island just to describe what they saw.
That's long enough to get good at cricket, which you can do in the Bahamas.
It's still not enough to learn to love cricket.
Fuck you.
But 7 months for the investigation, and it resulted, because you know, like this, we just want clear, simple answers.
Yeah,
what happened so we can make sure this never happens again? Just a simple document, give us some bullet points, you know, we can change these things immediately. The Navy came back with a 400 page report.
Oh, is that so they can avoid having to say when someone begs to not have to do their job that day to not make them do it?
Well, it's funny you should say that. The report itself drew some criticism.
Did it?
One of the criticisms being that it didn't even place the radio transmissions together.
What?
Or in the correct timeline, or include all of the dialogue.
That's what appendices are for.
Literally, just put that shit in the back.
Yeah.
That's like, that's the fanboys. That's the shit you want to look up and then memorize to prove that you know it better and that you don't know it, girl, because can you recite this from heart? Then no, you can't because you're not a real fan. Yeah. Name their four songs if you were a real fan. I'm sorry, I've been a woman to an Iron Maiden concert. This happens.
Name four songs.
Is it fuck you? Fuck the horse you rode in on.
Fuck the horse you rode in on.
Fuck to the hills. So, yeah, no, just literally just put that in. No, they would be like, oh, they'd talk about one little point and use like these little quotes. And then they'd use, you know, discuss another point and then use some of the dialogue from before the last point. It was very crazy. The official review offered, would you believe, little explanation. The Navy Board of Inquiry concluded.
Yeah.
What do you think their conclusions were after a very, very thorough 7 months on Big Titty Island? What do you think the Navy concluded?
Pilot error.
Not even that.
Oh, really?
No. Quote, we are not able to even make a good guess as to what happened.
Okay, well, that's a bit unsatisfying.
After 7 months.
Ooh.
7 months. Have a whack at it.
Ooh. Did Scott Morrison write this?
So that was their wishy-washy. Oh, we can't really make a good guess, but you know what? You know what? Let's just blame somebody.
Yeah, well, blame the dead guy. That's what I'm saying, pilot error.
Let's throw someone under the bus. So even though they said they didn't know what happened, they pretty much knew who they were blaming.
Yeah.
Quote, the primary reason for the disappearance of Flight 19 was the confusion of the flight leader as to his location, his failure to take into account the strong winds, which apparently carried him farther east than he realized, and his failure to utilize radio aids which were available to him.
Right. Why did they become British? Is that just the universal language of incompetence?
It was the native language of Big City Island.
Yeah, yes.
Basically, they complained that he spent so long trying to figure out what was wrong with each little incident.
Yeah.
He didn't take into account the fact that everything was wrong. So what was the fate of the 14 men that night? Another curious aspect was that it should have been 15 men.
Really?
Now, we all know that Taylor, the instructor, had practically begged to be taken off the mission to no avail. And again, it's one of those things. You can only imagine the difference that might have happened if someone had accepted.
Yeah.
Mental health is real.
Very real.
But then again, it's the same time. Like, we put in these things like, the where I'm working at the moment, like they're all like, oh yes, no. Like we're all about like mental health and yes, no, and we have specialists and go and talk to people.
Yeah.
But there's stuff, if you say it out loud, your career is ruined.
Yes.
You know? So it's not like, oh, you can say things and get well, but if you do so those things,
yeah,
you have to give up your whole career.
A friend of mine was training to be a commercial pilot and they took some time off to get treatment for depression.
Mm-hmm.
And when they came back, they were basically hounded out of their commercial flight course.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. They were basically grounded.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can't get in the pilot chair, sad boy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, what? Yeah. Like, that's not the way to treat mental health.
No.
It's companies are very big with saying, oh, yes, no, speaky. But no. So he was forced to fly. Another man, Marine Corporal Alan Cosner, was there for the pre-flight briefing with the rest of the men.
Yeah.
And basically he stood up and asked to be excused from the flight. The thing is, Alan Cosner had already exceeded the number of flight time hours that were required for the month.
Right.
So technically, he didn't need to fly that flight.
Yep.
And they gave him permission to leave.
Okay.
So he just got up.
Yeah.
And left.
Nice.
As it was short notice, he was not replaced.
Oh, wow.
And the plane went up with one crew man instead of the two.
Oh, that's a bit of a dick move, leaving your wingman to have to do it.
When asked later why he requested to opt out of the flight, he simply said, for some strange reason that I can't explain, I just decided to not go on the flight that day.
Oh, great excuse. Nice. That's a fucking window into it.
But it's just the fact, like, he was there. He was there for the briefing. Yeah. And he literally just literally saved his life.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy.
You need to trust your gut. You know what? If you're unhappy, if you're miserable, if something's telling you not to do it, just get up and leave.
Yeah.
Get up and leave. Stop doing it. Stop doing it. Get up and leave. I'm sorry, sir. Tip your hat and leave. One of the other pilots that had been on board, who was not so lucky.
Yeah.
Marine Sergeant Robert Francis Gullivan. And you know he was a mean bastard. He was a tough son of a bitch if you can be a Marine for 4 years and have a name of Robert Francis Gullivan.
Yeah, as if he wasn't Bob Frank.
He had been a Marine for 4 years.
Yeah.
And he had spent 18 months of that time fighting in the Pacific.
Hard as nails.
During the Second World War.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, yeah. He could split a coconut with his anus, all right?
Why his anus? Wouldn't it have been his dick?
Oh, weird. You can't do that in front of an officer. Just, there you are, sir. With your butt cheeks like a gentleman. You can't get your wang out in front of ladies.
There's no ladies in the military back then.
No, but just... tip your hat, ladies.
You haven't been around enough gross blokes. You really haven't.
I grew up in a mining town. This is different, okay? It was the Second World War. It was the 40s.
They were gentlemen.
They were gentlemen in between the raping and the killing. They were gentlemen. Yeah,
none of them had ever tried analingus.
Or not after being in a trench for 4 years.
Not on each other.
Oh. They all talk about, like, you know, like the soldiers would get foot rot.
Yeah.
How many do you think got anus rot?
Probably not that many. Your bum is kind of covered up and not wet.
Yeah, no, it's wet.
But not like fucking shoes.
You'd have dysentery all the time.
All the time, surely. But no, their feet rotted because their shoes would get wet, the leather would get waterlogged, and their feet would never dry out.
Yeah, but like your ass would get wet. Like, it's not like you can air it out on a Sunday like you do. Like, you can't do that in a trench 4 years of like the same dirty jocks.
Yeah, it's not as bad as their feet.
I'm just saying, it's not everything is a comparison. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
Anyway. If your anus was affected by trench warfare, let us know at realworldmen@gmail.com.
Yeah, if you were in the Somme and you're still alive and listen to obscure podcasts and want to tell us about your fucking, your Somme ass.
Who else? You don't see Joe Rogan talking about the tragic loss of life to like trench ass warfare.
No, and he's got $300 million in a fucking career. We're recording in my house while my son watches Starsky and Hutch.
Exactly. Who's winning? Oh, shit, it's him, isn't
it? It's really him.
Fuck. Oh, Lord. So he'd spent 18 months in the Pacific. On December the 6th, which was the day after the training mission.
Yep.
Marine Sergeant Robert Francis Gullivan's mother did not go to work. She'd planned to have that day off for some time, as December the 6th was supposed to be her son's last day in the services.
Oh.
And she had planned to stay home to make him a feast of all of his favourite foods with all the fixins to celebrate him getting out of the services alive.
Fuck.
Instead, on December the 6th, she got a telegram saying her son was missing at sea.
Fuck that.
I'm just going to say.
Yeah.
If you're in a room and now not one but two other people in your squad are just like, you know what? I got a bad feeling about this.
Yeah.
Call in sick.
Yeah.
Throw yourself down some stairs if you have to.
Shoot yourself in the foot.
You know what I mean? Suddenly get spontaneous explosive diarrhea.
Yeah.
Just saying. Don't be like, oh, I got to be a man and just go and do it. No. Fucking pull a hammy. Oh, my hammy, my glute. My gluteus maximus. Yeah, if they were real buddies, they would have shot each other in the ass.
Yeah.
And then nobody.
Well. Well. Choose your words carefully.
It's not gay if you shoot to Germany during it, all right? Oh, my God. Oh, Lord. But the Navy essentially stopped publicly looking for reasons, pretty much leveling the responsibility on Lieutenant Taylor's shoulders and Lieutenant Taylor's shoulders alone. However, there was still one powerful force in play the Navy did not account for.
Is it Cher on the deck of that battle cruiser singing Turn Back Time?
Hello.
Yeah, that's how we all knew we were straight.
The Navy may have closed the chapter, Catherine Taylor said in an interview that month, but I haven't. Enter Lieutenant Taylor's mother and his sister.
Forced to be reckoned with.
Quote, it just can't be possible that so many could disappear without a single clue. I shall never give up until I find out why.
What was the burp for?
Just let them know how Marine ready she was.
Oh, okay.
Catherine Taylor even posted, and consider this is like 40s money.
Yeah.
A $1,000 reward for information.
Wow.
Leading to the recovery of her son.
That's a lot of money.
When the Naval Inquiry came back faulting Charles Taylor of, quote, temporary mental confusion and, quote, faulty judgment, Catherine Taylor and Carol began their own research. And after writing more than 200 letters and conducting 48 interviews with people involved, including letters sent to her by her own son before the incident.
Yeah.
Whilst describing his duties as he undertook his year-long stint in the Florida Keys before shifting to Fort Lauderdale, one letter excerpt reads, so this is from Lieutenant Taylor to his mother.
Yeah.
A lot of practice in navigation. As I am considered a senior pilot in the squadron, I always lead a junior pilot on these convoys. I do all the navigation and he just follows me around. As yet, I have never gotten lost.
As yet.
Ominous.
That's very ominous.
Catherine Taylor eventually brought her information to the Board for Correction of Naval Records in 1947, who agreed to have Charles Taylor cleared of personal blame in the disappearance.
There you go.
So do not, you know what, be nice to your mum.
Yeah.
Because one day you might fuck up. And who's going to stand around fighting, sending angry letters to clear your name? Your mum. That's who.
Yeah.
There were other theories that circulated. And this is, oh, my God, this is one of my favourite bits about the Bermuda Triangle. All of the different theories.
Yeah. Because there's some crackpot shit out there.
Oh, because I said, really, it took off much later, this whole concept of the Bermuda Triangle. You know, it was this dreaded, And the thing, we're going to do a special episode just on the Bermuda Triangle. I think one of the fascinating things about the Bermuda Triangle is even to begin with, people can't agree on the exact size of the Bermuda Triangle. Like, different people have it – some people have it listed twice the size that other people have it listed.
Right.
You know, and some people are like, oh, here's this triangle that goes from, like, one spot in the globe till it comes back around the other side. And you're like, your triangle is too big.
That's a big triangle.
Too fucking big.
Yeah.
So – yes, it sort of, it became this whole like mythology of, yes, there were ships, boats, swimmers that all disappeared in this area. Just, So carrying on over time, some of these people who've invested a lot of research.
Yeah.
$1.99 at Savers have come up with their own theories as to what could be happening in the Bermuda Triangle and believe could be the reasons of what happened to Flight 19.
Okay.
Berlitz, in his book The Bermuda Triangle, published in the 60s, believes there could be a few possible causes.
Okay.
One of which is anti-gravity warps.
Okay, that's a fucking leap.
Where gravity and magnetism do not work in the traditional manner and may cause planes to simply fall out of the sky.
Okay.
Just, oh, gravity, what? That's one theory.
Right.
We're not going to talk about the validity of each individual theory here.
But we'll just list them off.
These are just some of them.
Just the top 10.
Yes. The other one, an all-time favourite of mine, wormholes to other dimensions or points in space.
Again, great movie.
I am a very big fan of that.
Yeah, great film.
Fort Lauderdale writer Richard... Oh, my God. This is the greatest... Oh, my God. I can't believe this is this man's name. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. I wish I had a dollar for every time this kid was hit in school or even just through life. You want to know what this guy's name is?
God, I need to.
We oh my God, we know it. We know a horror writer. Maybe we should convince him to change his name.
Okay, yeah.
Because this has pizzazz.
All right.
All right.
Matthew Davis, you're on notice.
All right. Matthew Davis. That doesn't Where's the gravitas when you could be Richard Wiener?
Richard Wiener, Dick Wiener. Any relation to Dick Johnson the racer?
Richard Wiener.
That's so good. Dick Wiener.
Da, da, da. He's a dick. The dick with the coldest touch. Oh, the happy touch.
Oh. Yuck.
Dick Wiener.
Dick Wiener.
Dick Wiener. He wrote a book theorizing that the whole thing was caused by extra strong winds.
That's not the worst.
it's a bit of a letdown from what I thought. If anyone, Dick Wiener was going to be like, oh my God, wormholes in space.
Here comes Dick Wiener and he's just like a reasonably plausible weather event. Okay, sure. Just before a storm? Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, seems logical. I was going, oh. Of course, a doorway to another dimension.
Yeah.
Now, oh my God, you know that it's coming. You know we're going to say it.
Atlantis?
Oh! Before I was going to say aliens! Oh. And a very common belief. Now, this is the one that really gets a lot of traction. People think that people in the Bermuda Triangle were just being abducted by aliens.
Yeah.
And one of my favorite bits is normally whenever you hear like, oh, it was aliens, everyone tunes off and goes, okay, that's like the weirdest shit and people stop listening to you. And I love it because when it comes to the Bermuda Triangle, aliens is not the weirdest fucking explanation.
No.
You know what? And it's so weird talking about aliens. And you said it when I said Flight 19, this is the first thing you talked about. In 1977, Close Encounters of the First Kind.
Yeah.
yeah, you called it immediately. You remembered it when they're trying to be like, oh, things started appearing around the world.
Yeah.
When there's the flight of like World War II aircraft that appear in the middle of the Mexico desert.
Yeah, and they're in perfect working order and I still have fuel.
Yeah, that was supposed to be Flight 19.
Yeah.
So the other theory is Atlantis.
That's my favourite. That's so good.
And the thing is, like, people who think it's Atlantis don't even agree on how it's Atlantis.
Okay.
Like, everybody who thinks that it's Atlantis apparently has a different way that Atlantis is kidnapping boats and planes.
Right.
Some people have it that, you know, it, you know, what do you call it? Like a wormhole vortex in the water. Yeah.
Yeah, like a, I forget what they're called.
Yeah, a little water whirly. Yeah. You know, it's sucking people down to Atlantis. Other stories are Atlantis is rising out of the ocean. Some people have even theorized that Atlantis is on the other side of like a gatehole to a, like another dimension.
Right.
Okay.
Imagine that being your book and taking that to a publisher.
Hi, I'm Dick Wiener.
I'm Dick Wiener and I'm here to tell you about Atlantis.
No, I'm Dick Wiener. I'm here to talk about wind. Oh, my God. So if you are the ancient lost city of Atlantis and you can levitate a whole city into space.
Yeah.
And you can, like, physically transport, you know, like, telewarp ships and planes.
Yeah.
If you're that technologically advanced, what the fuck do you want with a 1940s airplane?
Are they all over the age of 40 and therefore really into World War II?
Yeah. Okay, I take it back. Oh, my God. That could be the only explanation that makes sense. That's the only
explanation, yeah.
Oh, Lord. So, yeah, those are some of the alternative theories.
Yep.
Now, it is likely we will never know what happened to Flight 19. Nothing, even to this day, has ever been found from Flight 19.
Right.
No bit of wreckage.
Nothing.
Nothing. Not even a weird little bit of metal or a cushion floating up on shore. Now, there was a period after the Challenger space explosion of the rocket. A lot of people were like, oh, my God, like looking for bits of the wreckage. Yeah. Of the Challenger. And there were people that actually found a set of five 1940s bombers sitting at the bottom of the ocean.
You're joking.
And everyone was like, holy shit, like white man erection. We finally found Flight 19. And they were actually able to get the serial number off a couple of the planes. And you know what they found?
No, what?
It wasn't Flight 19.
You're joking.
They were just other planes that had been lost in the Bermuda Triangle.
What the fuck?
Mm-hmm. There was even a plane that was discovered just on the edge of shore, like in a swamp area. Yeah. It was reported with a couple of pilots. People were like, oh, that's got to be part of Flight 19. Again, managed to, like, with the details they have, not Flight 19.
Wow.
So nothing, not one single identifiable trace has ever been found of any of the five planes of Flight 19 or the rescue plane that disappeared trying to find it.
That's pretty freaky.
Six ships.
Yeah.
Nothing.
Wow.
Nothing. But again, in the Navy, just look to Lieutenant Taylor. But remember, he had received significant training. Admittedly, most of that was in the Pacific Ocean.
Mm-hmm.
But he had considerable active combat experience and hours in combat.
Yeah.
In the air.
Yeah.
During a world war.
Yeah.
And was described as a, quote, fearless pilot.
Fucking hell.
And a competent navigator.
Yeah.
Who had survived numerous missions, which is a testament in itself to his abilities in the cockpit.
Yeah.
But a thorough review of his service history does reveal a couple of interesting points.
Okay.
Lieutenant Taylor, during his career,
yeah,
was forced to ditch his airplane 3 times in his naval career.
Yeah.
Twice because he was lost.
Oh, dear. Oh, that's not good.
It could just be a coincidence. Has anyone considered the wind?
Yeah. Well, okay, twice because you're lost is a lot.
I don't know. If you got lost a lot in World War II, please let us know. Was this something that happened a lot? Oh, look, I mean, it's one of these things. Like, I mean, Lieutenant Taylor was obviously, I mean, he was a competent pilot.
Yeah.
But he was also quite obviously going through something.
Yeah, absolutely.
But at the same hand, like they said, there were other pilots with him. There's a whole other plane that wasn't even attached to this mission, yeah, that I think just gives it this mystery of...
And it should also make us all appreciate just how freaking dangerous air travel was until relatively recently.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But it just does my head in that this man spent, like, you know, he did hundreds of missions, like actively flying, being shot at, dropping torpedoes, being shot at by gunships.
Yeah.
Survives, not a scratch, goes out on a milk run.
Yeah. Yeah, had enough. He's about to leave the military, doesn't know what to do with his life outside the military.
No, that wasn't him. That was another.
I don't know. Those torpedo bombers, man, they were fucking – you have to have balls of steel to do that shit.
Yeah. So that's why it's just I don't see everyone else cracking under pressure.
Don't get it. It's just one of life's great mysteries. And mental health is a very unpredictable and very powerful thing.
And, yes, that we should respect it and genuinely, you know, help people in times of trouble, not just give them lip service.
Exactly.
And when someone comes and asks you that they don't want to do their job twice in a day – fucking let him go home.
Yeah, Duna Day.
Duna Day, mate. Duna Day.
Yeah, you've dropped 2 bombs on Japan. You guys get a Duna Day.
Duna Day.
Yeah.
I think that's what we're going to take from this 2-part series.
Yeah.
Duna Days.
Yeah. A Duna is a comforter for our American listeners.
Yes.
Yeah.
With their weird talk and their aluminum under their pergola.
Their steering wheels on the wrong sides of trucks.
Oh, just fucking, they're all a bunch of dick wieners, if you ask me. That's all I have to say. But yeah, so what do you think? Do you think just a terrible circumstance, or is it Atlantis?
There's 2 options. Could not be further apart. I think I'm lost in between the two of them. I'm going to have to ditch, I'm afraid.
But a boom. I am fucking leaving you, and I am flying west. You know what's west? Mothman. It's real Mothman. Eat the carpet.
And just like a dick wiener, the dick goes in the bin.
But just allow for wind.
Yes, allow for wind.
Allow for wind.
Plug the wind with the dick. Brokeback Mountain.
Oh, don't make me choke.